We are back with another episode of Boots, Balls and Bras. Busy weekend of football. Big Conti Cup final between London rivals, Chelsea and Arsenal. We'll touch on that. Obviously, we had the retirement announcement of Sepp Houghton. Ellie Roebuck announces she's going for a recovery from, I think it sounds like, after reading it, a minor stroke. And then obviously, Willie Kirk being released from Leicester. So we'll touch on all of these things and then look ahead to the internationals. So no other place to start, Nancy, than, you know, the Conti Cup final, where Arsenal were victorious over Chelsea after extra time with a winning goal from Black Senius. Did you manage to see the game?
I watched bits of it. So I was at the West Ham Brighton game, but we had another phone with the game on just so we could keep in the loop. And at half time and stuff, we'd go in and watch it. And then at the end of the game, we went in and just watched the extra time. So it actually kind of worked out because we didn't miss any of the action because the goal was at extra time. But I'm guessing you're not a happy Chelsea fan this morning.
No, do you know what? I'm a fan that, you know, on balance of play, I'm as much as I'm a Chelsea fan, you know, Arsenal were the better team over the 120 minutes, I have to say. I thought that the first half, tactically, I thought both teams were a bit cagey. Chelsea probably started the better with the two. I thought that, you know, with their direct play, their high press, thought were very, very good, put Arsenal on the back foot. Arsenal had a high line, which Chelsea, you know, were trying to exploit in those early, you know, 15 minutes. But for whatever reason, Chelsea decided to change that tactic and they started to play shorter passes, which really allowed Arsenal, who were in good shape, to be able to press a little bit more on the front foot and create chances. And, you know, in the first half, they created the better of the chances. Second half, it was a bit slower. The intensity really slowed down in that second half for both teams. And then obviously the incident to Frieda Arnhem that we have to mention. Obviously, you know, we've seen that she collapsed on the side of the pitch right before the end of the game. I think it shocked everybody in the stadium, us as pundits sat there, fans at home. And obviously, you know, that really was something that nobody knew. It's never happened in a women's game, you know, how to react to. So obviously we have to, you know, she's our priority and was the priority. I thought the medical team of Arsenal did a fantastic job in assisting her, removing players from the scene and making her stable so they could take off the pitch. But yeah, we send our well wishes to her and hopefully it's a speedy recovery. We've seen that Arsenal did put out a tweet to say that she was in a stable condition, communicating and was able to travel back with the team. So that is really good news. And as I said, we wish her a speedy recovery on that. But extra time, I don't know whether it was because of the incident, but I just felt like Arsenal had another gear. That 30-minute spell, thought she was unbelievable. I thought Arsenal were unbelievable. And I think maybe, you know, Black Stinius, we heard Russo talking in the interview at the end of the game. You know, maybe it was written in the stars. Her best mate, Black Stinius, scores the winning goal. And they win 1-0. We saw the incident. I don't know if you saw it. So obviously Arsenal were victorious. They won it twice now, back-to-back against Chelsea. Both off the back of a defeat, by the way, in the WSL going into that game.
Neither of us thought Arsenal were going to win either, just saying. No, predictions. We're so bad at predictions.
And just because of the form that Arsenal went into the game in, I think they were a bit, you know, they didn't manage the game against Chelsea at Stamford Bridge very well. I thought they were much, much better in the cup final. But they are a cup final team, by the way. How many cup finals have they won? Whether it be Conti Cup, I think they've won the most Conti Cups and the most FA Cups. They hold the record. So we know when it gets to a cup final, we should never write Arsenal off. But did you see the incident at the end of the game with Jonas and Emma Hayes?
I saw a clip of it. I saw a clip of it really randomly. And I was like, I don't really know what's going on. I saw another clip of, I think it was, the ball went out the ball went out of play.
Yeah.
Erin wanted the ball quickly and Jonas was shouting or calling to someone, one of the officials, the fourth official maybe.
So and basically, we'd spoke to Jonas at the end of the game because I have not seen Emma react like that. So I thought that, and I knew there was a coming together with Jonas and obviously Erin Cuthbert, there was something that happened there. I obviously didn't see exactly. And obviously you don't hear. You're a bit far away from the dugout. But I didn't think anything of it at the time. And obviously we saw at the end of the game. So Jonas in the interview at the end of the game had said that. So basically before the game, two teams get asked if they want to play with multi-ball or if they want to play with one ball. And that means that if you play with a single ball, if that ball goes out of play, that's the ball that comes back into play before you restart the game, whether it be from a corner or a throw-in.
The exact ball.
Yeah, so that ball will get played. There's only one ball around the stadium, basically.
Okay, cool.
Multi-ball means that all of the ball boys, ball girls around the stadium will have balls in their hands. And when one ball goes out, they can throw it in quickly. Cool. Emma Hayes wanted to play with the single ball. Jonas wanted to play with multi-ball. They agreed before going into the game, they'll play with single ball. So what had happened, obviously Arsenal 1-0 up at this time, and Erin Cuthbert is trying to rush and get a ball. So Jonas's point was, hang on a minute, we've played with single ball, now you're losing, you're wanting to change the what we'd agreed at the beginning of the game. So I think he was obviously stopping Erin Cuthbert from getting the ball and playing quickly. So Emma Hayes in a comment after the game was talking about male aggression within the game, and she's seen it many a times before. So I think she was frustrated by that. But I'm sure it will become a little bit clearer in the near future. But I think it was a nothing moment that was probably built up a little bit more. And look, these two have had a rivalry ever since the opening game at the Emirates. I think it was three seasons ago now when Jonas did a knee slide when they beat Chelsea on that opening day. So there's always
Oh,
been
that
that kind
picture
of
lives
conflict.
rent-free.
Yeah, so there's always been that kind of conflict. But what do you think now? Obviously, Chelsea now not on for the quadruple. I think that was obviously a target for them. Huge pressure in trying to achieve that. Arsenal, the only women's team able to achieve that in the game today. Where does that leave both Chelsea and Arsenal now going forward, do you think?
I think Arsenal, they're just going to be super confident. Winning the Conti Cup. You saw, I think you could see in the celebrations, because I actually watched the celebrations, you could
Course
see
you
in the
did.
celebrations like how happy they were and how they were celebrating with the fans loads together, the energy. I really think this is going to knock them on and keep pushing them now. I think once you win silverware, you're flying, aren't you? Like mentally you're flying, you're happy.
Yeah.
I think Chelsea, there's been so much pressure, even from us, like
Yeah.
for them to do the quadruple. I mean, I know it's not the easiest. Like they've got Barcelona in the Women's Champions League, and last time they played Barcelona, it wasn't pretty. But I do think this will rattle them, like not winning, and then the quadruple's off now. Barcelona's next. Like they've got a lot. Man City are flying.
Do
They've
you reckon
got a
their
lot.
season could come crashing down after that defeat, or we can never write? My opinion, we can never write Chelsea off. But I know our listeners will be thinking I'm a biased Chelsea fan. But it could actually come crashing down. They have Man United, isn't it, in the semi final of the FA Cup? They've got Barcelona in the semi final Champions League, and after the weekend's fixture, which we'll talk about in a minute, Manchester City are now sitting top of the WSL. Do you think it's possible that Chelsea don't win anything this season?
They've got a lot on. I'd be surprised if they didn't win anything. I'd be surprised, but just I don't think they're going to come crashing and burning. It's Chelsea. They're a good team. But yeah, like I'd be unsettled. I know there was so much pressure, isn't it? Emma's last season at Chelsea, quadruple this, quadruple that. I think coming from every angle, even as much as Emma. I don't know if she has or hasn't said this. Obviously, she'd love to win the quadruple. It's not going to happen now, but before yesterday, there is that inkling of pressure, isn't there?
Yeah. You
And want.
know what? You know what? Something seems, and I said it a few weeks ago, unsettling at Chelsea. You don't have to agree, you don't have to have an opinion, but
I think they just need to
the
tell us who
fact,
the new
yeah, but
manager is in
Nancy,
the new.
but take aside the manager, the likes of Sophie Ingle, somebody who's been a reliant servant for this Chelsea team, doesn't even get a look in. Somebody that, big games like that. Big cup. When I think of cup finals, I think of big game players. You've got Frank Kirby that doesn't even get a foot on the pitch, and you're losing. Now I know we could look. I understand how managers work and coaching works, and I'm sure at that stage Emma's probably thinking about extra time. Is it going to go to penalties? Does she need to? And Katrin Berger's probably the better of the goalkeepers in terms of shots, penalty stopping. So was she considering her last change to be Ann Katrin Berger to come on for Hannah Hampton? If it was to go to penalties, did she not use an extra, flair player or attacking player like Frank Kirby to come on the pitch? Because it blew my mind. I thought in the second half, sorry, I thought in extra time, I thought Chelsea looked really tired. I felt like they needed injection of something in attack. They obviously brought on Vicario. She did okay. I thought Lauren James looked as if she was tiring. Maybe that could have been a change, and they brought Frank Kirby. But these players that have served Chelsea really well just haven't been given opportunities to get on the pitch in a game that was running away from Chelsea. Do you think,
I think
can you feel that? Can you see that? Or is it just.
I get what you mean. Like for me, I'll use Sophie Ingle as an example. I really highly rate Sophie as a player. I think she'd pull out shots from like 30 yards and stuff. We've seen her do it, like her finishing and the things she pulls out the bag. I do really rate her. Fran, for me, I've always said, I've always rated Fran as a player. We're using these two as examples. For me, I think Fran's the most dangerous when she's in the final third, but she's in the corners. I've watched her in that position many a times, and I say it all the time to my mates. I think she's so dangerous in them positions, what she can do. I know she's a striker and she wants to score, but if you watch her in those corners in the final third, for me, it's excellence. With the game yesterday, as I said, I didn't watch the full game, so I can't say like flat out, but the bits and bobs that I did watch, I did notice that for me, Chelsea's finishing wasn't on par with what it usually is. And I remember sitting there and thinking, oh, this is a surprise.
I thought the finishing from both teams, to be fair. I mean, Black Zinnias had a big, big chance that she should have scored early into the first minutes of extra time. But yeah, I know that Emma's probably going to look at the two penalty shouts. I don't know if you saw them. There was one in the first half with Lauren James. She goes on a little Maisie run, gets herself into the box, chops back, and Kim Little has a dangling leg. For me, obviously, people, as we mentioned a few weeks ago on the podcast, people have been crying out for VAR in the game. VAR was at this game and actually deemed it not to be a penalty. Cheryl Foster, for me, one of the best referees out there. Obviously played the game before when she was she played at Liverpool. She represented well, so knows the game, former player. I thought in terms of her refereeing, I think she's very good. Deemed it not to be a penalty. I know Emma Hayes had stuff to say on that. I know Chelsea players thought it was a penalty. Minimal contact for me, and I said it in commentary, I didn't think it was enough to give a penalty. And then obviously there was a penalty shout for a handball of Kate McCabe. Again, she was blindsided. It hit her arm inside the box, but for me, she couldn't even see the ball. So yeah, again, I know Chelsea will be looking at two penalty shouts, but I didn't think it was. But as I mentioned, Nancy, I mean, I was at the game and I thought Arsenal were the better team. Looked like they wanted it that little bit more, certainly in extra time, and then come away from the game victorious. So they now have silverware in the bag. I did speak to Jonas because Arsenal is such a big team. The expectation at Arsenal is to bring silverware home. He obviously signed a new 2-year contract. I asked him, was he under pressure going into it? And of course he said they were, but it didn't add any extra pressure. But they now have silverware, as I say, in the cabinet for this season. And they obviously can push on to try and, challenge for that WSL, which I think is a little bit out of reach. But it sets them up for next season nicely. But we will move on to WSL because Manchester City had an early kickoff on Saturday where they went away to Liverpool and thumped them 4-1. That scoreline surprised me, if I'm honest. I thought the scoreline was... Look, we know Manchester City are in form, but 4-1 away to Liverpool, I thought it was a big, impressive performance from them.
Four goals. Lauren Hemp, Jess Park, Bonnie Shaw, the usual suspect scoring goals for City as well.
Yeah. I mean, what did you make of the performance? Did you see the performance?
I was actually at the women's rugby.
Oh, nice. Saturday. England Wales, was it?
Yes.
Yeah, they battled so, England.
England's performance at the rugby was phenomenal.
Yeah, of course it was. They're the best.
Yeah, they are. They're very good. No, I just watched a few of the highlights, but again, it's, as I just said there, you multiple goal scorers continuously scoring. Kiara got an own goal, unfortunately, but I don't want to like touch up on that too much. I can imagine people will run with stuff like that when that happens to a goalkeeper. But she's a young, exciting goalkeeper. And I think it just, when stuff like that happens, so I think she always comes back even stronger in terms of like her performances and stuff. But yeah, Man City are flying, aren't they? Bunny Shaw doing what Bunny Shaw does.
I think they would have known going into the game, 3 points would have took them top, and obviously Chelsea would have to play that game in hand in order to catch. And yeah, I mean, I know Gareth Taylor doesn't like to talk about goal difference, but they seem to be racking up the goals now, which will only help come the end of the season when they're tied with Chelsea, if it is Chelsea that finishes there. But the earlier kickoff on the Saturday as well was Aston Villa, your team, against Leicester. Now, they go 1-0 up, they're 2-1 down, and manage to salvage a point out of the game. Why have Aston Villa been so inconsistent this season? Because, on paper, and you look at what they did last year and players they brought in, they're supposed to beat teams like Leicester, no disrespect.
Yeah, I think you can never write Leicester off as a team, though. They give you a game, they give you a performance. I know they probably haven't had their best season. But yeah, I was looking at that. So they scored. Villa scored, as you
Early,
said, and then
yeah.
literally 2 minutes later, Leicester come back, and then Leicester take the lead. And then thankfully, Rachel Daly gets one back for them. But they need to be winning these games. It's I want to see Aston Villa doing well again. You would have thought, we say it all the time off the back of last year, you would have thought they would have been flying in their performance. They've got good players, they've got talented players. But then saying that, they've brought players in who have been injured and hasn't really even played for them. So I don't know. I think maybe they need to bring some more players in, have a bit more on the bench, be able to flesh out a bit, rotate more, but rotate with players who are not saying they haven't got players who are going to do a job, but like for like rotations if where possible. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, so they're under huge pressure because obviously they did have some investment. Obviously, we know that they lost players in January, but yeah, they obviously get a point there against Leicester, and then the Sunday game. And you know what was so funny about that, the Manchester United or Everton Man United, is that Everton go 1-0 up within like 10 minutes, and Man United Twitter fans just went in. They were just going wild about being a goal down. They don't give their team time to build into a game. I understand. Look, of course, if you go a goal down, you know there are frustrations with that. But the Twitter went wild. Man United fans need to calm down. It's like for me, they have to get behind their team a little bit. They managed to come back and obviously win that game 4-1 and a two getting two there. But I don't know. I just feel like, you know, women's football fans at the minute, it's just like, guys, calm down. Like, literally, you're going crazy. You're going crazy over the being a goal down against Everton and your team win 4-1. You now go back into fourth spot ahead of Liverpool after their defeat to Manchester City. So again, you're still in a decent position, and you know, it was a decent performance for Man United.
Yeah, I saw before I went to the game, I saw some clips of this one. Well, sorry, I saw some of the game before I left, and it was 1-0 Everton, and I was like, oh, me and Farah have got good things to say about Everton. Like, we can really go in. It was half time. One
Yeah,
going in
1-0.
one nil up. And I was like, oh, we've got some stuff to talk about. And then Ella Toon, Ella, well, Millie Turner gets the first
Yeah,
one,
Millie
and then
Turner.
3 minutes later, I walk into my mate's house. She goes, oh, Ella Toon's just scored. I was like, Ella Toon, wasn't it Millie Turner? She's like, no, they've got two. It's 2-1 now. Then Ella Toon gets another one. I did say I think that was going to do wonders for Ella's confidence. She's been quite quiet. Then we see Leah Galton and Rachel Williams come on. Two workhorses. Rachel just doesn't stop. Leah, wicked player. Obviously, she's come on, scored a goal. She'll be absolutely buzzing. I'm hoping we s now see more from Leah as well with her coming back. But yeah, just Everton fumbled the second half essentially, didn't they?
Yeah, and that's where, I mean, we had Natalie on, Man United fan, last week, didn't we? And I thought she spoke really well. I thought she was passionate fan, was able to get her points across. I think she was probably misunderstood a little bit. I think, you know, certainly looking at the responses on Twitter about her comments, I didn't feel for 1 minute she was digging out any players. I think she was talking about areas of the team that she felt needed to be more competitive, have more players in there in order for them to compete on all fronts. I thought she spoke really well. But yeah, they got 3 points, and as I said, they're in a good position to finish fourth and potentially push Arsenal. I think that's probably a little bit out of reach, but they're in a good position to finish fourth. But you was at the West Ham Brighton game. A scoreless draw. Doesn't sound the most exciting one to have been at. I don't think, I mean, a point doesn't really do anything for either team. They're pretty much seem safe in terms of staying in the WSL. But anything exciting in that game?
It was a very physical game. I enjoy a physical game. Yeah, at the end of the game, I was talking to a few of the girls, a few of the West Ham girls, and although, as you say, it's a scoreless draw, it felt like a loss. That it
Well,
was just,
at home to Brighton, they won all 3 points, don't they?
yeah, definitely. It felt like a loss. Even West Ham, like, they're without Minnie. Obviously, Minnie's out. Minnie, I think we were saying Minnie would have run riot. She would have absolutely loved that game. Minnie in the midfield is magnificent. West Ham's finishing, for me, a lot of their shots were just straight at Sophie Bagley. when you've got a shot, you need to be, when you've got a shooting opportunity, as soon as it's going straight down the middle, it's easy for a goalkeeper, isn't it? I don't really think Sophie was tested as much as West Ham should have. Vicky Lasada, by the way, that woman, I would not go in a one-on-one against her. She does not back out.
That's such a good player. I played with her at Arsenal. Very good player. Really good player.
She does not back out. Like, she did a bit of a naughty tackle and got a yellow card, but I was just watching her and thinking there's absolutely, like, her going in a 1v1, there is no signs of her, like, pulling out. Like, it's ball or nothing, or hopefully. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah, do you know what? It was actually, the game got more exciting in the second half, the later stages of the second half. Mm-hmm. The first half wasn't the most exciting, I'll be honest. But yeah,
a point probably fair for both teams?
A point was fair, but it did feel like a loss for West Ham.
Yeah,
that was the energy after the game that I was getting and from the conversations that I had. But you know what? A point is better than no points, isn't it?
Exactly that at this stage of the season anyway. So that pretty much rounds up WSL. But there was a few things happened in the WSL this week. Obviously, Ellie Robrock announced that she had a minor stroke, I think, from the reading or the understanding of it. So, look, of course, we wish her the best in her recovery and our well wishes are with her. And then we had the news of Leicester and parted ways with Willie Kirk. And obviously, for me, it doesn't seem like such a bad decision to make at this stage of the season. I think Leicester are pretty safe in terms of the points, and I think it gives them time now. They know they're secure in terms of WSL football, to see out the season and maybe reassess a new appointment come the summer. So obviously that was Leicester sacking Willie Kirk. But before we move on to international, one international player who has represented and led our country for God knows how many years, Steph Houghton announced her retirement from the game at the end of the season. Just a few words on Steph for me. And I said it yesterday, I think, you know, she's been an unbelievable leader, both for club and country, both on and off the pitch. I think in terms of what she's done, some of the stuff she's had to overcome, I think she's been an unbelievable servant for the game. Somebody that will be missed from the game, and I'm sure she will stay in the game in some capacity. But I think if you know Steph, or you know, everyone will always talk about being a great teammate, a teammate that put her team probably before herself. But I think she's had a lot to deal with. I think, you know, certainly not just on the pitch. I think her last couple of seasons at Manchester City probably hasn't been how she would have liked them. Probably hasn't got enough of the minutes. And at some point you do have to make these decisions. But I think it shows, you know, a mental toughness, not just on the pitch, but off the pitch, away from the game. We know she's had, you know, some stuff going on within her family. And maybe she's at that point now where, you know, she wants to kind of sacrifice her football and start to spend some time with her friends and family. And, you know, she's given more than enough to the game, a well-respected player within the game. We can use the word legend, I think, you know, for Steph Houghton. I'm sure many will say that. But as somebody that's probably watched over the years, Nancy, what do you make of Steph Houghton and what she's done for our game?
Yeah, I think Steph was in that bracket of seeing real change in the women's game. Obviously, she was the England captain, Man City captain. I remember before I was working in football, I was on a shoot with her, and I remember she was literally the nicest person ever. She was so kind to me, and that's one thing I'll never forget. And then whenever I've seen her again, she's always been super cool and nice person. For me, when I saw the announcement, I was actually at the bridge. I was at Chelsea Ajax.
Yeah.
And I saw it come up on Sky Sports and I was like, oh my gosh, Steph's retiring. And then I was like, actually, it didn't surprise me. It did. And then I was like, this isn't a surprise. As you say, her last few seasons, not being with England, not playing as much at Manchester City. But I think, as you say, she hasn't gone about it in the wrong way. Mm-hmm. She's always tried to she's always kept training, doing what she's doing and trying to get back on the pitch. When the announcement did come out, I've seen we've been inundated with posts from past and present players saying how much of an impact she's had and what a good person she is on and off the pitch. I am interested to see what she does after her career. I know she tapped in a little bit to doing some media stuff, but then I didn't see much of it. But then again, she's got stuff going on in her personal life, which is personal to her. So that I wouldn't be shocked if that was her priority, which I completely understand. But yeah, for me, like Steph, she was the cover girl, wasn't she? Like in terms of she was the face. She was the face.
Yeah, for a long time, yeah, she was. I think the biggest compliment to Steph is that how she remained professional throughout. I think, through adversity, whatever it might be, as you said, personal things, whether it be not playing, playing, she remained professional. She trained like a professional. She, in terms of how she carried herself, was always professional in every area. But I mean, for me, I wish her, the best of luck in retirement. I hope she enjoys the remaining of her games. When I retired, that was the hardest, knowing that, you're counting down the games and then that's it. It's pretty much it's gone. So yeah, and I'm sure we'll see her, whether it be on the TV screens or on the coaching pitch, we'll see her doing something exciting. That leads us into International Week. So we know England have a huge fixture in the Euro qualifiers against Sweden on Friday night at Wembley. And then they go away. I think it's the Aviva Stadium against Ireland on Tuesday, the following a week Tuesday that'll be. And I think they've sold that out. I think it holds over 60,000. So I can't remember the last time England have faced Ireland. So that's what out of the group stages, that is a game that I'm super excited to see. But we saw Leah Williamson go off in the Conti Cup final. She obviously got recalled to the England squad after missing out on the last camp for injury. She went off at half time in the Conti Cup final. So, as I say, I'm hoping that she's fit and well to meet up with the squad. But how do you see, that's a tough group because obviously Ireland play France in the opening game, England, Sweden. And then the second fixtures of France, Sweden, and Ireland against England. What do you make of those fixtures and International Week?
I think
Exciting, or are you a little bit nervous about the opposition?
it's a hard group. It's a very hard group. I think England Sweden is gonna, I hope it's a game. I'm nervous about it, I'll be honest. I'm nervous. I think Ireland will also give them a game, but I'd like to think we can beat Ireland. But yeah, this Sweden game, I'm going in nervous, but I'm excited for it. I'll be there at Wembley, so I'm excited to watch it.
So difficult when you've only seen these teams like in friendly fixtures or fixtures that haven't really had much on it, to know kind of what form England are going into these games with, what form Sweden are. So the fixtures that I'm definitely excited to see where we're at. Obviously, the qualification is, although the group is really tough, there still is other routes. Whether you finish third in a group two, still qualify for the Euros. But yeah, it's a tough group. It's a competitive group. England on Friday night at Wembley. Obviously, I think there's still tickets available for that, so that's an exciting one. But the Ireland England one. As much as England on paper should beat Ireland at home with 60,000+ fans, they are going to make the game as ugly as they can for England. And now it's a case of how England deal with that. I think they'll have too much quality. I think if they can take away the emotion from the game, England, I think they'll have too much quality for Ireland. But that's not without saying that Ireland will put up a fight and will try and upset the apple cart, I'm sure. But yeah, that's it from BBB for this week. Short podcast, not really much going on, but we will be back next week to talk about the international fixtures and games. So make sure you tune into that. Have a watch of the games over the next couple of weeks, and we will be back next week. Thank you.
See you later.